Welcome back, everybody. It's Tuesday, April 30th, 2024. It's National Adopt-A-Shelter Pet Day. The good news is that many of them are trainable. Let's talk about colleges that are expanding or closing, illegal street racing and exhibition driving, and where travelers might have to hold it for just a few more minutes. That's news that affects you right there. Now, we have another guest today, AL.com columnist and Birmingham Southern grad Kyle Whitmire. My name's Ike Morgan, and we are down in Alabama. Alabama A&M has big plans. According to the Vice President of Governmental Affairs and External Relations, the Huntsville-based university is preparing to make an offer to buy the campus of Birmingham Southern College, reports AL.com's Mike Kaysen. Alabama A&M is a growing public HBCU that draws 10% of its students from Birmingham, and it wants to put a branch at the BSC location. BSC announced it'll permanently close on May 31st. An official with that school says it's in talks with several interested parties. A little later in this show, we're going to bring on columnist and BSC grad Kyle Whitmire to shed some light on what has taken the college to the point it's now at and what its closure means for Birmingham and former students. We've mentioned illegal Birmingham street racing and exhibition driving here before, notably when 19-year-old Ja'Keel Winston was killed at one of the events when someone pulled out a gun and started firing after a wreck. Authorities have said they're serious about stopping it, and the state legislature passed a law last year that allows for criminal penalties, rather than just handing out tickets, for drag racing, burnouts, donuts, and such. This month, Birmingham police spent two weekends working Operation Night Rider. Night with a K, like the Hasselhoff show. During the first round, on the weekend of April 12th, five people were arrested and seven cars were seized. During the second round this past weekend, six more people were arrested and six more vehicles seized. Now, not since Bo and Luke were on probation has law enforcement impounded Dodge Chargers at this clip. Around half of the cars seized during the Operation Night Rider have been Chargers. Police say that beyond the obvious danger involved with this kind of driving, several of the vehicles were stolen, and probably on a related note, several of the drivers were armed. There are very different kinds of vacation travelers. Now, one kind of vacation traveler takes pride in rarely or never stopping along the way. In theory, by the way, I'm that dad and husband. I gassed up the truck last night and I want us to be there and unpacked in 5 hours and 12 minutes. In reality, there's a drive-through stop, a grocery stop, at least one additional bathroom break. Since we're stopping anyway, I go ahead and gas up again and we're there and unpacked in 6 hours and 35 minutes. Now, this happens because I travel with the other kind of travelers. And those travelers always know the very best places to stop along your favorite vacation routes. Now, if you are that kind of traveler, this news update might be for you. AL.com's Mike Kaysen reports that the I-65 southbound rest area near Greenville, Alabama, will close this week. So, if you travel that way, you'll need to plan your way too many stops with that in mind. But there's a good news side to this. You'll just have to wait a while for it. The Alabama Department of Transportation is having the old building demolished and replaced with a bigger one with more stalls and urinals and family restrooms. The project's contract is for around $14 million and it's expected to take up to 2 years. Then attention will turn to the northbound rest area. Let's break right now to keep the lights on. Come back and talk with AL.com columnist Kyle Whitmire about the demise of Birmingham Southern College, which will close up shop a month from now. Today we have columnist Kyle Whitmire with us. Well, let's go. Pulitzer Prize winning columnist Kyle Whitmire. See, Kyle, that's a device to bring more attention to the intro.
Thanks.
Hey, welcome aboard, man. They gave you a year off to go along with that, right?
Yes. I wish, but maybe a day or two.
Well, one thing has been in the news, and you have done some reporting and a few columns on, is the closing, the impending closing of Birmingham Southern College. Now, some of your work has taken us back in time. This is not, these financial issues are not new, even if they're new to a lot of people. What brought us to this point?
Well, what I keep trying to tell people, everybody's looking for one reason that Birmingham Southern is closing. And there's not one reason. There's probably five or six, and they all sort of aligned at the exact wrong moment. And instead of, you know, the stars in alignment being the Christmas star of the Magi, it was really the Death Star, right? Like every one of these things lined up to hurt the college. You know, I'll just try to go through them real quick. I mean, the first is, you know, liberal arts education kind of comes and goes out of fashion. And, you know, there's been a lot of emphasis in recent times of people, you know, young students going to college because they want to get out and have a job and they want insurance of what that job is going to be. And liberal arts don't really guarantee that. Like it's supposed to be expanding your horizons and creating all these new opportunities, not narrowing them your life path down to, you know, one option, which is what a lot of people are looking for. So that's number one. Number two is what I like to call the Disneyfication of higher education. If you look at, I mean, this really sort of began just down the road at the University of Alabama. Robert Witt very purposefully actually had people like go to Disney World and look at their best practices there to bring to that campus, because, you know, studies have shown that prospective students decide where they're going to go to college within 20 minutes of arriving on campus, not sitting in a guest lecture or anything like that. It's they show up, they look around, is it pretty? Are the dorm rooms nice? Would I like it here? And so that's sort of the second thing. And the other things are more unique to Birmingham Southern. Was one, they did have a financial crisis in about 2010 is when it really became public. They had a new president who came in. His name was David Pollack. And he saw the college's path to conquering these challenges I just talked about as sort of a build it and they will come approach. He went on a spending spree building brand new dormitories, very nice posh dormitories where they have suites and where, you know, everybody gets their own little private room and you don't have to share a room with anybody. You know, you might share a bathroom with four or five other people, not everybody on your hall. You have a little kitchenette. You know, he also built an alumni center. And the thing that everybody sort of scoffs at is his degree was in aesthetics and he really wanted this campus to have a water feature. And he built what can either be described as a very large pond or a very small lake on the campus, and did all this at the outset of the Great Recession. Like when markets were tanking, when, you know, really the worst financial crisis of our lifetimes, nationally, globally. And so the college's investments were already in the tank. And so he's having to sell these things off to pay for all this stuff that the college is buying, and really not being direct and truthful with the faculty, the alumni, the larger college community about the shape they were in. About 2010, they begin to say, oh, we've had some problems. And they attributed a lot of their financial stress to miscalculating how they were awarding financial aid. And, you know, I always talk about this in terms of my stepbrother's flat tire. When we were kids, my stepbrother had an afternoon job. He, you know, bagging groceries at our grocery store and in Thomasville, and he would take the family car there to work after school. Well, he shows up one day, come home in the rain. It's pouring rain outside. He's got mud all over him, you know, and my stepmother asked him, Chris, what happened? And he said, well, I had a flat tire. And they said, oh, we can fix that. And they get in our little utility truck and start driving to where the car is. He says, I may have dented it a little bit. And they drive a little bit further, and it's like, well, it's kind of off in a ditch. Well, long story short, he had totaled the car. He had gone, like, did a 180 in the road, went off the road, went airborne, hit an embankment, bent the frame of the car. The whole thing was destroyed. And somewhere in the middle of all that, he had a flat tire, right? And that's kind of what this early talk the college had of, you know, saying that they had miscalculated financial aid was, yes, it was a problem, but compared to the deficits that they were running at that time, it was a relatively small problem. Now, what happened was, is they start trying to piecemeal out an explanation for why the college is having these troubles. This computer science professor, her name is Moretta Cameron. Her department was in, you know, again, this is back in 2010, is likely to get cut should they have to start firing people, start laying people off. So she does something that it just hadn't apparently thought to anybody at that point to do, hadn't occurred to anyone to do. She goes and pulls what are called 990s. Now, private colleges are tax-exempt nonprofits, but they still have to file records with the IRS. And she pulls these 990s, and they reflect how much money the college is taking in, how much money is going out, what sort of things they have their money invested in, where their endowment sits. And she very quickly realizes that this is not a recent phenomenon that the college had, that this has been going on for several years, that it was not a $10 million deficit, as the college was saying it had at the time, but was in fact probably closer to $30 million that year. They were on the third year of this slide. And she makes this information public to the whole college community, mostly just the other faculty members, one of whom back then sent this to me. You know, I wrote about it at the time. You know, I did not, at her request, say who it was who had given me this information. She was sort of my anonymous source. I recently went back and asked her, you know, can I tell your story? And, you know, she allowed me to do so. I wrote about that in my column this week. She confronted the president, David Pollack, in a faculty meeting, called for a vote of no confidence in that meeting. And other faculty just kind of they kind of froze. They were scared. They didn't want to have a confrontation. They just wanted the problem to go away, and they didn't really know if this was the best way to solve it. And so they kind of panicked, and they tabled that vote. And later, Moretta Cameron, her department was cut, and she was fired, even though she was the person who really made public that the college was having these problems. And had the college been allowed to go even six more months without this stuff becoming public, I don't think it would have made it as long as it did. We got 14 years more out of this school because Moretta Cameron made this stand. Very quickly, let's talk about what happened after that. Pollack is pushed out. We bring in this very dynamic college president. His name was Charles Krulak, former commandant of the United States Marine Corps. And he does just a miraculous job improving morale, negotiating down some of the college's debts, getting the college's finances in order so that they know, you know, how much money they really do have, you know, how much they have coming in. Does a lot to stabilize things. Well, we didn't know at the time was that the problem that would ultimately kill the college was not debt. It was that the college's endowment had been depleted. If you look at private colleges and universities, especially ones the size of Birmingham Southern College, the healthy ones have at least $500 million sitting in their investments. And what they do is every year they take about 5% of that money out, because you could do that safely without depleting it. And they use that money to subsidize the education of all these students so that they can remain competitive on price. And also, just like you and I have savings in our bank accounts, if suddenly there's some great crisis, if there's a disruption in their revenue, you know, they have a safety net there to protect them for a while. Well, they had that crisis. It was like everybody else's. It was the pandemic. A lot of students, you know, withdrew from school or didn't go back to school. It was a very serious disruption, not just for Birmingham Southern, but for lots of colleges and universities. and their revenue dipped, and suddenly they were having to dig back into what was left of that endowment again. And they really didn't have a debt problem. They really had a cash flow problem. And so they began to go into crisis mode again. Remarkable college president, Daniel Coleman, he's an innovator in the high-frequency trading business. He was one of the, if you ever read the book Flash Boys, he was one of these guys who sort of invented that. He had been teaching business classes at the college, and he steps into this role to try to save it. And, you know, I asked him, like, so how do you do that? And he says, well, I do what every financial institution does when they hit the rocks. I go and ask the government for help. The college, you know, reached out to its largest donors, many of whom had become fatigued from having to come in and rescue the school over the years. It reached out to, and then reached out to the state. And what it was looking for is, you know, essentially a, not, I won't say a bridge loan, but a rescue package in the form of a loan, so that they could guarantee to prospective students that the school was going to be here in 4 years. And also so they can guarantee to prospective donors that they weren't just throwing their money away, throwing good money after bad. Because unfortunately, what happens to these institutions, and Birmingham Southern is one of many that this has happened to, is you get to this point where you can't guarantee that the school is going to be there in 5 years. So prospective, when a prospective student is going to graduate, you enter a death spiral. They find somewhere else to go. And that's what happened. That's what happened here. And they kind of got jerked around a lot by the state, and, you know, first thought that they were going to get this rescue plan, and then it turned out that they didn't. And there's a whole bunch of drama that happened there. But they reached a point this spring where they just said that there's not a way to fix this anymore, and decided to retire the college gracefully.
Yeah, Kyle, I'm going to steal that flat tire metaphor, by the way. Well, you're in a little deeper than just how is this.
I think one of the misconceptions of the college has been that it is sort of this hoity-toity private school that rich kids attend. I was not one of those. Most of my cohort there were not like that. A third of the students at Birmingham Southern College today are first-generation college students. A third of them have federal financial aid. It was really a place where, you know, a son of a hardwood forester and a teacher could go and learn to become a journalist or a lawyer or a doctor. It took kids who were working class or middle class and sort of gave them an opportunity to climb a couple rungs from one generation to the next up the ladder. That was Birmingham Southern's utility for this state. Unfortunately, it's also sort of part of its problem because it never had a Jimmy Rain or a Tim Cook or, you know, some mega billionaire Daddy Warbucks who could step in and say, oh, you need $200 million for your endowment? Let me write you a check. It had lots of people who could write $1,000 checks, but not people who could, a lot of people who could write $1 million checks. So, you know, it has a strong sense of community among the people who went there, and also just a feeling of, I won't say desperation or hopelessness, but a lot of people who really wished that there was something they could do to save this institution. But, you know, I'm not Daddy Warbucks, and neither most of the people that I graduated with. One of the things that hurt the college, and this concerns me not just as an alum, but as a you know, citizen of Birmingham, is when I went to school there in 1995, there were five Fortune 500 companies in Alabama, and they were all in Birmingham. Today there is one. And, you know, those are the sources of money, the sources of philanthropy that sustain institutions like Birmingham Southern. And as we as a city and as a state have lost those sorts of institutions, it's caused nonprofits, including BSC, to suffer. There's not somebody that college president can pick up the phone and say, hey, we're having trouble. Can you help us out? And, you know, I worry that this is going to be, you know, a canary in the coal mine for the condition of this region and also the state. And I think, you know, I thought a lot and I wrote a little bit about what I would say to the class of 2024. And what no one is going to understand better than they will, what is being lost here. And, you know, I hope that the lesson that they take from this is how important institutions are, how fragile they are, how difficult they are to maintain, and how important it is to always be on guard and to be attentive to the health of those institutions and the threats that they endure. And when you have, you know, a whistleblower come forward and says, I think something is going wrong here, everybody needs to stop and listen to what that person has to say. Everybody needs to be supportive of some of those dissident, you know, contrarian voices who, you know, a lot of people think, oh, you're just trying to make noise and rock the boat. Like, no, this person was trying to tell us that there is a disaster in the making.
Yeah, very sad story. Birmingham Southern College closing at the end of the month. We appreciate your perspective on this.
Thanks to everybody for listening to us. I realize we had some technical blips on my end, but Kyle had plenty of great stuff to share with us. We're going to be back tomorrow. Until then, y'all come by and see what we're doing on the internet at al.com.